Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this Sunday morning, once again on Facebook Live. I hope you enjoyed the song by Casting Crowns. The song is going to have something to do with what I'll be sharing with all of you regarding the Holy Spirit, as you can see from my slide. The sermon series that we're getting into is the Holy Spirit, a study of God's presence and what that means. And today we'll be kind of looking at what that song is talking about, this idea of God's breath in our lungs, and what does that have to do with the Holy Spirit. So again, welcome to our Grace EC Church worship on Facebook Live. I'm glad that we are able to do this. Even though we can't be together, but I'm ready to get back together and to see everybody here at our church building on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure about all of you. I was seeing some of the comments and saying I miss you, miss seeing you, and I definitely do. I miss seeing everybody, being together on a Sunday morning. Just helps life to feel normal for me, and so things haven't felt normal, probably haven't felt normal for you either with all this. Not a whole lot of announcements. I try and give you some announcements each Tuesday on our Facebook page. I usually post a video on Tuesdays, our Tuesday update, and within that just have announcements for all of you. So if you're looking to see what's going on and stay up to date, I recommend seeing those videos. One thing that I had been sharing on Tuesdays was if anyone was looking to become a part of Grace Church family, typically in the springtime, we start putting information out about joining the church, and then joining the church family happens at our church picnic, which as of now, like I said in our update, we're still planning to have, hoping that we can do that. That would be the last Sunday of June, and that's when we would receive new people into membership. So if you are interested in that, please contact the church office, send an email to jessoffice@graceeccchurch.org, or give the church office a call, and we'll get back to you if you want any information about joining. We're still doing that in the midst of everything else that's going on. So one of the things that I want to do today is try and lay some groundwork on our understanding of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot I want to try and get accomplished in very little time, which I guess isn't necessarily true. I've got all the time in the world, really, and you can go do whatever and come back and watch this. So I don't know why I'm saying I have very little time, but I'm going to try and keep it to our normal time, whatever normal is. But there is some groundwork I want to lay regarding the Holy Spirit, and all of this is kind of coming from our ending of our series in John's Gospel that we just ended last Sunday. But towards the end of John's Gospel, John was doing a lot of teaching, or a lot of talking about the Holy Spirit, the one Jesus would send when he leaves, and was using some language that maybe isn't super familiar to us, or maybe some metaphors that Jesus was using. And so we're going to try and go a little bit deeper into that section of Scripture. So we're going to use John as our launching point, but with this more topical series on understanding the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a lot of different scriptures that I'll be highlighting, and most of those will be on the screen. You can see my slide there as we go through it. You'll see what those scripture references are. I might just say one and you'll have to write that down, but that's kind of what we're going to be doing. It's going to be more of various scriptures throughout the Bible, as opposed to just one specific book like we've been in John. But we are going to use John as our launching point for this, because of one of the things that Jesus specifically said that made me wonder, why did he say what he said, and helped to spawn this wanting to go deeper in understanding the Holy Spirit, because of how important Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to be in the disciples' lives and certainly in our lives. But sometimes we don't always have the clearest understanding. And depending on where you grew up, how you grew up, many different traditions have some different ideas about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to try and lay some groundwork to see, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? What's he supposed to do? What's the work that's supposed to be happening? What difference in my life does it make, knowing that the Holy Spirit resides within me? That's what Jesus said would happen when we put our faith and trust in him. So we're going to try and answer all of those questions in the time allotted to us for our Facebook Live series, Going Through the Holy Spirit. Before I begin, I just need to take a sip of coffee here. I don't know if you have a cup like this, if your employees think you're the world's best boss, but mine apparently do, or at least one. No, I don't work for Dunder Mifflin. I work for Grace EC Church, but my employee, who happens also to be my wife, got me that mug, world's best boss. Well, that was nice of her. So I'm drinking my coffee out of that today. I don't know what you have. Grab your, whatever it is, your coffee. Grab your Bible. As I said, we're going to be flipping through kind of some of the scriptures, so you're going to have to do a little bit of work today. You can't just sit in your easy chair and sip your coffee. You're going to have your Bible out to be seeing what scripture I'm going to be looking at. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with some prayer as we look in the scriptures before we get into the scriptures. And one of the things that, maybe you noticed this, maybe you didn't, one of the things that I often pray at a worship service, if we're here in this building or if I've been doing this, is that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts and our minds, drawing us into God's presence. And I say that for a specific reason, because that's one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit does. And I genuinely believe that he does that for us. And so wherever you are watching this, all over the state and maybe the world, we've had people join us. So wherever you are, because of the Holy Spirit, God has the ability to draw you into his presence through the Holy Spirit and open you up to, open me up to, what he has to say to us through his word. And as I'm acting as a vessel for that to happen, hopefully something I say today might help you in your journey with Jesus as well. So before we get into the scripture to hear from God, we're going to begin with some prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful once again that despite our circumstances, we are able still to join together as brothers and sisters in Christ and open your word and hear from you, Lord God. We're thankful that your Spirit in these times continues to communicate the joy that is found in knowing you, the peace that we can have in our lives because of our relationship with you, Lord, the hope that exists because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Lord God, I'm thankful that we can be together, remind ourselves of that, Lord. And now, God, as we begin to journey through this sermon series on the Holy Spirit, I do pray, as I often do, that he would have his way in our hearts and our minds, drawing us into your presence, wherever that might be. Lord God, wherever we're sitting or lying down or wherever we are today, God, may you draw us into your presence, and may your Holy Spirit communicate to us what we should hear from you today. And I pray too, Lord, through this series, we might have a better understanding of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives and why it's so important, Lord God, as Jesus has told us about how we find life and life in his name, and that's found in your Holy Spirit, Lord. So I pray that you would help us as we begin to journey through this sermon series today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks again for joining me out there. As I said before, if you do have prayer requests, keep sending them in to the church. And we do update that prayer list. And you can find that on our website every week as well. And one of the things that I want to do, a little exercise for you at home, not literal exercise, hopefully you've been doing that, But a little exercise for you at home as we begin. I want you to do something. I'm going to do it here. There is some lag time between me talking and what I'm seeing on my screen. So if I go still, it's not, hopefully it's not because it's frozen, it's because I'm holding my breath. So here's what I want all of us to do. I want all of us to hold our breath for however long you can hold your breath, and just don't hold it long enough that you're going to pass out, or at least have somebody standing there to catch you if you do, if you're standing up. But I want all of us to hold our breath. This is going to be an important part, this idea of breath and what that means in our message today. So we're all going to do that. I'm going to do that. And again, it's not because anything's frozen. It's because I'm holding my breath. If I fall off this stool, I've held my breath too long, and somebody can come to the church and pick me back up. Okay, so here we go. Everybody, one, hold your breath on three, two, three. Okay. All right. Okay. Done holding my breath. So now, if you would hold your breath too long, what would happen? You'd pass out. You wouldn't be breathing anymore. Your chest wouldn't be compressing anymore. We wouldn't see any more movement. You'd be lying still on the ground. Possibly, hopefully, still breathing, but lying still on the ground. Something else we celebrated this past Sunday was the birth of Brandon and Becky Devlin's first baby. So congratulations to them once again. They're all doing well. Glad to hear that. But when a baby is born, what we listen for is that first breath. And if the baby is crying, that's a good sign, because the baby is breathing. That first breath is given to that baby. That baby didn't do anything to deserve it, to receive it. It just is born, and it breathes in and takes that first breath. Often when we have someone who is dying, and we might hear the term their last breath, we associate birth with breath, and we associate dying with breath. They took their last breath because that breath indicated life. And when you hold your breath and then you breathe out, you start taking deep breaths to catch your breath, because you've just held your breath. So you're breathing in and breathing out. And when you take that breath in, go ahead and do that. It feels good to take a deep breath. It energizes you. There's some energy in that breath. And if you put your hand in front of your mouth and breathe out, you blow it out. And if you had something in your hand, you could blow that thing off your hand. It actually creates some energy. There's some energy in our breath. The same is true of the wind. You know, we can't actually see the wind, but I can look at the trees, and for whatever reason, this past April, it's been pretty windy. It's been so windy, it blew my grill over off my patio two different times, which I wasn't happy about, but it had some power to it to blow my grill. It's a pretty heavy grill. There's some energy, there's some power behind those types of things. That's going to be important to remember as we begin our series in understanding the Holy Spirit, a study in God's presence. So I'm going to rotate my slide, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not. Probably last week some of the issue was my slides rotating, but I'm going to rotate my slide. If it glitches a little bit, hopefully it doesn't freeze up, but it just moves my slide one slide forward. So we're going to be looking at understanding the Holy Spirit. As I said, we're going to be going through a couple of different scriptures, but we've got to begin in the beginning. Where do we first hear about the Holy Spirit? Well, Genesis 1:2, we first hear about the Holy Spirit. But before we get to that portion of Scripture, before we move to that Scripture, we're going to look at John and why I began thinking about the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit, and something that Jesus specifically said in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23 is what we're going to be looking at specifically. So on my screen, what you're seeing, it's over here. It's on the other side. There it is. There it is. On my screen, what you're going to be seeing is all of what I'm going to be talking about. Usually, if we're together, I'm clicking and you're seeing the progression of my thought. And so as I'm preaching, I'm doing the next click and the next idea comes up. And I talk about that. You're seeing it all at once. This was my mind exploding out onto a PowerPoint slide, and here it is. So we're going to take it a bit at a time. You can see where we're going with everything that's on that slide, but we're going to take it a little piece by piece. And something Jesus said specifically that made me think about this sermon series is in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 23. Jesus has risen. He had appeared to Mary Magdalene. And Jesus is going to appear now to his disciples. And in verse 19, it says this: on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And we talked about that specific scripture in when we were going through John in John 20, and that last verse 23 is Jesus talking about the participation they are going to have in what God started in Jesus's ministry, and now the disciples are going to be a part of that. And so Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why does it say breathed on them? Why does John tell us that Jesus breathed on them? Well, our little exercise about breath verifies one thing for us. It verifies we're alive. If we're breathing, that means we're living. And so this idea of breath communicates life. And so as Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side to communicate that he's alive, "See, this is me. It's really Jesus. It's the guy that was with you." He also communicates life by breathing out. In this time, as Jesus breathes out, the Spirit is not simply going to be animating, empowering, enlivening Jesus' ministry. That same Spirit that gave Jesus life in his ministry, that same Spirit that gave Jesus life from the grave, is now being breathed out onto the disciples. And it's that Spirit that's going to be empowering, that Spirit that's going to be present with the disciples, just as the Spirit was present with Jesus. Now, if you flip back a chapter, we read in John chapter 19 when Jesus was dying, and you can see my cross-reference. I got to point this way. It's backwards from my screen, from your screen. The cross-reference with Luke, Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross. Luke actually tells us that, and gives up his spirit. So that is communicating something to us. What is the Spirit's job? What is the Spirit doing? And why does John tell us that Jesus breathed out this Spirit on the disciples? What life is this Spirit bringing? Now remember, John's gospel was filled with these metaphors, these images about life, about Jesus bringing life. And John says he wrote his gospel so that you might have life and have life in his name. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. John is super focused on life. And the Spirit communicates life. And in John's gospel, I said multiple times that when we give our lives over to Jesus, when we are empowered by the life of the Spirit, our life is qualitatively different. How is that possible? Now, that's what we're going to be talking about. How is it possible that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, makes our life qualitatively different? He is doing something as powerful as what he did in Jesus's ministry. So Jesus's entire ministry was, and you read that through John's gospel, empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who brought Jesus life. And that same life is the life Jesus breathes out on his disciples. So why breathed? Why does John say breathed? What does it mean that Jesus is breathing this life out on his disciples? Well, to understand the Holy Spirit, we need to go back. We need to go back to the beginning when we first hear about the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. That's going to take us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. So if you open your Bibles to that section, we're going to be there for a little bit, because it's here that we begin to learn who this Holy Spirit is and who was it that was empowering Jesus' ministry. And so what we're going to be doing in this series is we'll be camped out a little bit the first three Sundays, two Sundays for sure, the third Sunday going to be transitioning from Old Testament to New Testament, but this same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus, that Jesus said is the one who enabled him to do what he did, because Jesus was fully human, just like you and I are human. So how was it Jesus was able to do the crazy stuff that he did? Jesus got hungry, just like you and I got hungry. If Jesus was, you know, he was a carpenter. If he was hammering something and nailed his thumb, it hurt. And Jesus would have yelled out. Jesus got tired. If they were walking for a long day, he would have been tired, just like you and I get tired. Jesus was fully human. So how was it Jesus was able to do the crazy stuff that he did? Well, Jesus said it was the Spirit that enabled him to do that. He was more in tune, in touch with the Holy Spirit than any human being ever to live. And we can see the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life and what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit even has the power to make dead things live again. And so to understand this Holy Spirit's work, who was working in the Old Testament as well, he didn't just start his work with Jesus. This Holy Spirit was working in the Old Testament as well. In fact, this Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now what is that mean? And literally it means, as far as verse 2 goes, now the earth was wasteland and empty. The Hebrew word for that is tohu vavohu. Go ahead and say that. Tohu vavohu. That's what the earth was. It was a wasteland and empty. It was not inhabitable. It was inhospitable to human life. And so the Spirit of God is hovering over this wasteland. That same word, tohu, is often connected to descriptions of the desert. In Israel and in that area of the world, there's a lot of desert. It's a wasteland. And that word is connected with that. So God's spirit is hovering over this wasteland that is not inhabitable, not hospitable to human life. So here's the other word we're going to learn today that is a Hebrew word. This one's going to be important. The Hebrew word for the spirit is ruach. Go ahead and say that one. You got to kind of clear your throat there. Ruach. I got to wipe the spit off the lens there. Okay, got it. Hopefully no one's sitting close to you. Ruach can mean God's breath. It can mean wind. It can mean spirit. It could mean my breath, what I'm breathing out. That one Hebrew word in our English Bibles has to be translated those four different ways. So when you read the word ruach, that's talking about God's spirit. But if I look outside and I see the wind blowing the trees, and I say, well, what is that that's making those trees move? What's animating the trees? I would say, well, that's ruach. Okay, well, I'm holding my breath, and then I'm breathing out, and now you see my chest going up and down, and I'm moving around. I've got life because I'm breathing air. Well, what is it that's animating Ted? Why, that thing that's going on? And we would say that's God's ruach. It's breath that is animating Ted. It's wind. It's ruach that's animating the trees that's moving. And it's ruach that is hovering over this empty wasteland. So now that's important because we're gonna see throughout Scripture that this idea of ruach plays a large role in communicating to us what the Spirit of God does. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. That's where we get the word ruach. The New Testament, written in Greek, that Hebrew word would be translated pneuma. So, you know, we have the word pneumonia because it has to do with breathing issues, lung issues. We have, for you construction guys out there, pneumatic tools. That air that's providing power, energy to get a job done. If you got a pneumatic nailer or something like that, that pneuma word is also in the Greek translated with wind and spirit and breath. And so the biblical authors, knowing those range of meanings, are doing a lot of things with that one word to communicate something to us about God's spirit. Now it says in verse 2 that the earth was a wasteland and empty, and there was darkness over the deep. Now the imagery of water was used often in the ancient Near Eastern culture to communicate chaos. If they used the deep or the oceans, it was about chaos. And all of the ancient Near Eastern stories about creation are about the gods fighting against this chaos to bring about creation. Now the Hebrew scriptures show in the language that's being used that this deep, this void that was out there, this wasteland that was empty, is static. It is still. God is not fighting against anything. It is communicating God's power and authority over all things. The only thing that is moving is the word hovering. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We're going to talk about that word again, hovering, rahaf in the Hebrew, a little bit later. We're going to put that to the side for the moment. But God's Spirit was hovering. There was motion. There was action. The movement of God's Spirit indicates that the creative change can commence because God's presence is there. And how does God change this empty wasteland? He speaks. And God said, how do we get our ruach out? Well, if you put your hand in front of your mouth and you start talking, you can feel breath hitting your hand. God speaks. His breath, ruach, creates. The movement of God's Spirit indicates that the creative forces for change commence. And it is God's presence that creates that. The first and foremost thing that we need to remember about the Holy Spirit in our lives is this is God's personal presence. That is how Scripture talks about God's personal presence in the world. God's Spirit was hovering over this wasteland that was empty. And out of this chaos that exists, God creates and forms and shapes. And now this wasteland is this beautiful place that is good. It's a garden. From this wasteland, God creates a beautiful garden, and he says that it's good. The Spirit of God has a job in creation. That's going to be important to remember. Now, if you just fast forward just one chapter to chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. This is a very familiar verse to all of you, I'm sure. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed. Guess what word that is? Yeah, you're right. Good job. Ruach. You were listening. Thank you. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So the Hebrew thinkers, the people living in this culture, in the ancient Near Eastern world, when they look at the trees and they say, well, what is animating the trees? They would say, Ruach. And they look at human lives and they say, what's animating that person, that human life? They would say, Ruach. Well, what was it that created all this? What gave form and shape to what I am looking at? And they would say, God's Ruach. God's Ruach is what animates all life. Oftentimes we think about creation as past tense. Well, God did that way back in Genesis chapter 1. He created. God is in the ongoing process of creation. God sustains, this is what we as believers in Jesus, this is what the ancient Hebrews would have thought, God sustains all life on an ongoing basis. That breath that that little baby takes is not his or her breath. It's given to them. God gives it to them. And God lends it to us. That's what in the book of Job talks about, that God lends us his breath. So that song that I was playing for you before from Casting Crowns, it's your air in our lungs. In a way, that's true. Because God gives it to us. We don't ask for it. We do nothing to create it. We can create toxic air. That's the whole air pollution issue that we have, right? This creation of toxic air, we can do stuff to the air. But we don't create the air. That baby breathes in that first breath. That's a gift that God gives. In the mind of the ancient Hebrews, life is connected to God's Spirit. God's Spirit animates all of life. So in Psalm 104, the psalmist kind of captures this idea. Psalm 104, you can read this on your own if you'd like. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the psalm is capturing this idea of creation, of what God is doing. And so I'm going to fast forward to Psalm 104, verse 27. And again, all prior to that, it's all about creation. All creatures look to you, talking about God. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. And when you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, guess what word that is? They die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, yep, same word, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. The Spirit of God has creative energy, force, power, presence. It's invisible. I can't see what's coming out of my mouth. I can't see that breath. And when I see the wind, I don't actually see it. I see what the wind is doing, and certainly I can't see God's Spirit. I don't see it anywhere. And so the Hebrews communicated, and they used the imagery of breath and wind to also communicate something else that's invisible, God's Spirit. Well, what is it that animates those trees? God's Ruach. What is it that animates all human life? God's Ruach. You can't see it. It's God's invisible personal presence. That is what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. That is what Jesus did his ministry with, this invisible personal presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to create. That's what the psalmist is basically saying there in Psalm 104. When you take away their breath, it's borrowed. It's not theirs. It doesn't belong to them. When you take that away, they die and return to dust. When we give our last breath, we take our last breath. The imagery that the scripture is using is that it returns back to the one who gave it to us in the first place. Birth and death are connected to breath, connected to ruach in the Hebrew, connected to life. And that idea of ruach and pneuma in the New Testament has that range of meanings that I'm showing you on that screen. It is God's ruach that animates all of life. And the Spirit of God is a way to describe how God is able to be present and how God sustains what he created. And God, through Jesus, says this new creation is coming about. Jesus instituted this, and if you read in the book of Revelation about the new heaven and new earth, this is idea of creation. It's kind of going back to this perfect garden again. This garden that the Spirit of God was hovering over this wasteland and creates. God breathes, God speaks and creates. This is what the Spirit does in our lives. So now that we have that background about Ruach, what it means, the different ways it's translated, and again, we in our English Bibles have to translate it in a bunch of different ways, and it conveys this range of meaning to the reader, to the listener. It's trying to communicate something to us about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question that we have to ask ourselves when we understand this life that the Holy Spirit gives is, am I open to the work of the Spirit? The idea that the biblical authors tried to give in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament is trying to help us understand is that this invisible thing that we don't see, my breath. Yes, I realize when it's cold out, you breathe out and you can see that breath that's coming out when it's cold and those conditions change. But you can't see your breath right now and in your home, unless you're living in a meat locker, you can't see your breath. When I look outside, I don't see the wind. I see the wind's movement, the wind animating the trees, the wind animating things. The wind has a lot of power. It can blow over my grill. It can also blow houses down. We call them hurricanes. Tornadoes create lots of wind. This idea of breath and wind, but it also communicates life, the air that we breathe, the air that all of the animals breathe to indicate they're alive, the air that you and I breathe, that if we held our breath long enough, we would die. And if we're not getting oxygen, we're going to die. We don't get that air. That animates all of life. It is those ideas that the biblical author is trying to use to help us understand the invisible presence of God in our lives. No, you can't see the Spirit. But the Spirit communicates and conveys God's personal presence in our life. The Spirit enables us, empowers us, Jesus says, as I have been empowered by the Spirit, as the Father sent me and sent his Spirit, we're going to talk about Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, the dove, that picture of Jesus being baptized and the Spirit of God descending on him. You can't see the Spirit. How else are they going to communicate that? But again, the biblical authors is doing something very important that takes us back to the book of Genesis again. But that Spirit that empowered Jesus, animated him, that energy that's there, is how the biblical authors try and get us to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. It is connected to life. We are all filled with the Ruach of God, this breath of life. You didn't ask for it. When you were born, it was given to you. And it's on loan, the big biblical authors are telling us. Because when we die, we take our last breath. We stop breathing. There's nothing any longer animating Ted. This breath of life ceases to exist. Where does it go? The biblical authors would say it returns back to the originator, the creator, the one who made all of life, the one who sustains all of life. So that whole host of range of meaning that the word Ruach communicates is the same thing the Holy Spirit communicates in our lives. It is God's personal presence, his energy, his enlivening power in us. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit can take a place that is a wasteland and empty and create life. So you can take the picture of Mary's womb, this womb that is this dark place. And if you read one of the Psalms that David wrote, Psalm 109, I think it is, I can't remember, talking about how God knit him in the inmost place, this dark place. It's mystical. We can't see into it. And in there, we know the Holy Spirit came over Mary. And from that place, life begins. The Holy Spirit communicates life. John, all over his gospel, is talking about life. And us experiencing a life that's unlike any other. It's even to the extent where Jesus and Nicodemus are talking together in John 3, that it's as radical as new life, which we in John, we know, is born again. That's how radical what the Spirit of God does. It's almost like the Spirit of God is able to give you a brand new life. Paul says it in a different way. We'll talk about this later. The old creation is gone. The new creation has come. Paul is referencing something from the Old Testament of what the Spirit of God does. Receive the Spirit, Jesus says, because you're about to go do exactly what I just did. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes in power. And we'll talk about that as well. But we needed to get this groundwork. We needed to lay the groundwork for understanding who the Holy Spirit is and the Holy Spirit's job from the get-go. We're not talking about a different Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Yes, maybe the Holy Spirit manifests himself in different ways. We see the Holy Spirit work in different ways in the New Testament. Maybe in different ways than we see the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament, but he is the same Holy Spirit that is animating all of life and communicating this invisible presence. I can't see. I can't see the wind. I can't see my breath. You can't see the presence of the Holy Spirit either. It's invisible. But it is how God communicates his personal presence to us. Do you see how important for us as followers of Jesus it is that we are open to the Holy Spirit and his work in our life? So on my slide, that bottom box says, we are filled with the Ruach of God, the breath of life, keeping us alive. That's true of every living thing, according to Scripture. But not everyone allows God's Ruach, the Spirit, to influence and shape our ruach. Yes, you and I have a spirit. So how does God form and shape us? And how do I let the spirit of God, the ruach of God, form and shape my ruach? Because I don't have to let God do that. So how does he do it? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about next week. We're going to look at some Old Testament people and some ways in which the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, and how the Holy Spirit enlivened, empowered, communicated God's personal presence in the life of some Old Testament people that maybe you hadn't thought about before and what the Holy Spirit was doing. But that same Holy Spirit is communicating life again. That is exactly what is happening when Jesus rises again. When Jesus gives up his spirit and takes his last breath, we know that that's not the end of things, because the Holy Spirit is about life and recreation and new creation. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. But as we'll see, we have the ability to say no to that or say, God, I want you and I want your Holy Spirit to work and form and shape me and shape me. And so next week, as we see how does this play out? How does this idea of the Holy Spirit that has got a range of meanings, how does it look in someone's life? And we're going to look at some Old Testament believers to see how that works. So I hope this was helpful to you. There isn't necessarily tons of practical application. Are you going to walk away from this and say, well, I'm going to put this into practice? Here's the one thing from today I want you to begin thinking about, and if you're daring enough, brave enough, praying about. The question I have on my slide is, are you open to the Holy Spirit? And I want to ask you through this series to pray that. God, have I been open to your Holy Spirit? And if you're brave enough to say, God, I want to be open to your Holy Spirit, I want your Holy Spirit to form and shape me. That is why I believe Jesus tells us he is offering something to us. He has come into this world to give life. Well, how do we experience that life in the midst of a COVID-19 epidemic, pandemic? How do we experience that life in the midst of difficult things going on all around us, maybe even that you're experiencing? We experience that, I believe, through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And maybe for too long, and this is the first series I've done on the Holy Spirit, and I'm ashamed to say this is the first series I've done on the Holy Spirit. Maybe for too long, the Holy Spirit was just contained in here. Yeah, the Holy Spirit did work in this, the Bible, but I haven't really thought about the Holy Spirit's work in my life, this ongoing act of new creation, this powerful presence that God says is with me when he gives me his Holy Spirit. So next week, we'll talk about how did God do that in the Old Testament? And we'll be working our way up to the New Testament when everybody kind of thinks about the Holy Spirit and talking about how that should affect your and my life. And maybe I'm praying after this series, maybe we'll be a little bit different. I mean, I'm already different, but maybe we'll be a little bit different in a good way by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. Let's pray together. God, thanks for your word and what your word conveys to us. God, it is you speaking to us through your word, and it's our dependence on the Holy Spirit to be able to communicate to us what you want us to know, what you want us to hear. And God, I pray today that if there's something that Ted has said that is not to be communicated, I pray people would forget about it, but what would stick with them is what you wanted to say to them, Lord. Lord, I pray what would stick with us is your desire to be personally present in our lives, and you do that through your Holy Spirit. May we be open to the work of your Spirit in our life, in our church, Lord. And as a result of being open to your Spirit's work, May we experience life in a new and different way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.